This podcast is proudly brought to you by www.aussiecoins.com, the Australia and New Zealand coin fan club.
This is Nicole Pillay-Leach from www.aussiecoins.com, and today we are very lucky to have with us Danny Miranda, the current bassist with Queen and Paul Rogers since 2005. Hello, Danny, and welcome to Aussie Queens. How are you today?
Nicole, nice to be here.
What is your musical background, and can you tell us a bit about yourself?
I guess my background started with my older brother, Richie, who's a musician and piano player, and hearing him practice piano in the living room and playing kind of got the music bug in me and made me want to play, and I started tinkling with the piano as a kid, and then eventually moved on to guitar, and then finally bass. Just listening to his band practice in, you know, my parents' basement, and, you know, getting a bit of the excitement, what it is to play music and to hear music being played in a room that intimate, kind of, you know, got the bug in me for that. And I knew I wanted to play music. I just wasn't sure what instrument. And you know, eventually it became, you know, guitar and bass, which, you know, it's felt like I found, you know, my home instrument, so to speak.
You've been playing bass with the current Queen and Paul Rogers lineup since 2005. How did this all come about?
Well, that came about, I have to go back to We Will Rock You, because when I auditioned for We Will Rock You, I was on the road with Royster Cult then, and I auditioned, and Brian and Roger were there, and also the opening night, which I didn't play the opening night, but I there was a party afterwards, a jam session with Brian and Roger and Steve Vai and Meatloaf and all these great players, and I, you know, played a few numbers with them, and you know, got to rehearse with them a bit, and immediately, you know, I think especially between Roger and myself, we struck a really good rapport musically. And we seemed to enjoy playing together. And that was in September of 2004. And a few months after that, a little bit before Christmas, Brian came to Vegas again to see the Rocky show and to sit in with us for a couple nights and, you know, see how things are going. And, you know, so we played, he actually played with the band, you know, like Champions and We Will Rock You. And, you know, we went out a couple times with the guys in the band and got to hang out and, you know, have a couple of drinks and get to know each other a little more. And that's when he mentioned to us that they were going to tour in 05 with Paul Rogers singing. And you know, we were really, you know, surprised to hear that and really excited. And I guess about a month and a half later, you know, my phone rings and it's Brian. And calls me from England and says, you know, that we're touring and, you know, and we need a bass player. And I thought he was, you know, calling me to ask for a suggestion, you know, for names. And he says, do you want to come and play?
Awesome.
And he said, you know, you know, we want you to do for us what you did, you know, to the show in Vegas. And you know, practically, you know, threw me to the floor hearing this. And then 5 days later, I was in Roger's house rehearsing with them in London. It all happened really quickly, and it was kind of like a, you know, a dream, and real, you know, fast forward, you know.
I want to address with you these Queen and Paul Rogers split rumours that have been rife since basically the South American tour back at the end of 2008. Is that okay with you if we discuss that?
Sure.
Okay. Well, at the moment, everywhere I'm going, everyone I'm talking to in the Queen scene is reporting back to me that Queen and Paul Rogers has split, the entire Queen and Paul Rogers team up has had its day. However, my key sources claim that the Queen and Paul Rogers team up is just on a break until 2010 before any more touring is even looked at. Do you have anything to say about all these split rumours and what's going on?
Well, to be honest with you, I really don't know much more than you guys do. It's always been an open-ended future with Queen and Paul Rogers. I mean, even after the first batch of touring, we toured in 05, and then we toured the States in 06. And that was it, you know, as far as what commitments were. There was not even talk that they were going to do a record, and I guess they just had a bit of a break and said, hey, you know, maybe should we give a crack at making some music, you know? And then I guess is, well, now that we made some music, maybe we should play again, you know? I haven't heard anything that we are or are not going to play, but, you know, we're on a break, and I guess we'll see how the future brings. I mean, you know, keep in mind this thing just started, they were just supposed to do a handful of gigs in 05, you know, and then it turned into a whole tour. Yeah. And so on and so on. So, you know, the future's always been open-ended, and I guess everything's up in the air, and, you know, let's just see how those guys feel. You know, I'd like to think that, you know, we will play again someday, hopefully. But that's really all I know, to be honest with you.
What is the mood from Paul Rodgers towards the Queen and Paul Rodgers project at the moment? Do you have any inkling? Because there's lots of stuff getting said about Paul Rodgers in particular.
Well, all I could say is, you know, how he is on the road. And, you know, he's always positive and it smiles all the way. And, you know, he always walks in like he's happy to be there, as we all do. And, you know, as far as what's on his mind for the future, I don't know. You know, he doesn't share that, you know, with me. And, you know, but he seems to be enjoying himself, you know, when we're out on the road. That's the only way I could, you know, described his mood. Always positive, you know, it's always a pleasure to be around him, that's for sure.
That's good to hear. Did you ever hear about the petition Aussie Queens ran and to try and get Queen and Paul Rodgers to tour Down Under? And if so, what sort of things were you hearing at your level?
I've heard about that since 05. I've heard rumors of, you know, offers to play Australia and New Zealand as well. And, you know, I guess in matters of scheduling and timing, it hasn't worked out. But, you know, personally, I would love, I mean, that's one of the places I've never been to, and I'd love to go down to Australia and play, especially with Queen Paul Rodgers. Again, it's just probably a matter of logistics and timing. It's a big, you know, commitment to go down there and play, and I'm sure the guys would want to do that again. And hopefully there'll be some time allotted for that in the future. But I've been aware of that, you know, of the buzz, and that's a place we should definitely hit, for sure.
Interview I did with Jamie Moses for the Aussie Queens annual 2008, I asked Jamie what it was like for him to play the upright bass during the Birmingham and Cardiff concerts that you were ill for. Did you ever get a chance to watch the playback of Jamie's performance during these shows? And if so, what were your thoughts of how he did?
Well, yeah, actually, I was at the Birmingham show. I was in the building. In fact, I saw most of the show from front of house, and I'll say to you the same thing I said to Jamie since he got off stage. Of, you know, I was very impressed, and you know, that's the mark of a true professional. You know, just jumping in on another instrument, and I thought he did a fantastic job, and you know, you gained a lot of respect for me for that. I thought he did great. And, you know, it's not only picking up a different instrument, you're kind of up front, you know, doing the solo thing with Roger. And I thought it was fantastic. And, you know, he's very, very brave of him, and he did a fantastic job. But he's a pro. And, you know, those are the things that he can do.
How complicated is it to do that little solo bit with Roger?
I mean, I like to say it's very complicated because it's me. It depends on the day, because it's not just me playing. It's Roger playing, you know, what would be my right hand. So, you know, every day, you know, we're kind of taking a bit of a chance how good it's going to come out. And it's challenging, and it's always a surprise probably for both of us. And but it always seems to, you know, to turn out well. But it is challenging, but that's what keeps us on our toes and keeps things fresh. Never to stay in a comfort zone, so to speak.
I did ask also in that interview to Jamie about how the audience was receiving that little solo bit. In your opinion, what are your thoughts? How do you feel that the audience receives it?
I think it went over great. I thought, it, you know, when Roger brought the idea up to me during rehearsals, I thought it was a really cool idea. It's not your typical thing that you see. You know, it's not at all uncommon these days for a band to have a B stage and to go up there and do some unplugged things and some acoustic things, and it creates an intimate atmosphere and all that. But, the guys took it one step further and did some unusual things, such as that kind of a solo, and seemed to go over great, you know, especially, you know, doing a couple of Queen riffs that may or may not be in the show itself. And people were singing along and, you know, having a real laugh over it, because it really created a relaxed atmosphere in the crowd and a more intimate atmosphere, and got the crowd involved in it. And, you know, in my opinion, I thought it went over great all the time, you know.
What do you like and dislike the most when touring with Queen and Paul Rodgers?
Honestly, there's nothing I dislike. What I like the most, really, is just, being up there with all these great guys is... And playing, you know, to me, what I feel is just the greatest music in the world. It's a real blessing. But seeing the look on the faces of the people out in the crowd, from the first song to the last song, singing their hearts out, arms in the air, and, you know, the expression on their faces, that's got to be the greatest reward for me, is seeing that from such an incredible viewpoint. It's just, it's indescribable, you know, because you can see the joy and the happiness in these people's faces. And it's an amazing experience. There's nothing I dislike except the final gig, knowing that there's not going to be another gig tomorrow. that's the only thing I could say that I would dislike.
So when you're on the tour and you're doing the final show, is it kind of sad to, you know, wind it all up, or is it like, oh, thank God it's all finished, I can go home and rest now?
Well, it's a bit of both, you know, bittersweet, you know. I can see the South America shows, you know, it was the end of a long tour, and I think we were all tired and all looking forward to go home. But, you know, when you're up there going, oh, man, this is the last time for a while we're going to play these songs. And it is sad. It is sad because there's a rush that, to me, is unmatchable in anything else that you could possibly do than playing a show with Queen and Paul Rodgers. This is, you know, I don't know what else you can do except, you know, drive a Ferrari, you know, 200 miles an hour. I don't know what could give you that, a feeling like that. And, yeah, there's always a bit of sadness. You know, the Rio shows were definitely bittersweet for me because, you know, looking forward to going home and all that, but knowing that this is coming to a, you know, this tour is coming to a close is always a bit of sadness.
Out of all the Queen and Paul Rodgers live shows that you've performed with to date, which live show would you personally rank as the best and the worst, and why?
I'd have to pick a couple, if you don't mind.
That's fun.
You know, some of the best ones to me were, well, of course, the first one we did in in Sandcourt, South Africa, for Nelson Mandela. You know, that was the first, as far as I know, the first, you know, Queen show after Freddie, and even though it was under an hour or something, but and it was the first show that I played with them, and also playing for Nelson Mandela is just is such an incredibly great, you know, human being, and it was indescribable, you know, for me playing a gig like that, and the Wembley show when we first the first gig we did at Wembley in 2005 at the Pavilion, that was great for me because it was, you know, Queen playing in London, their hometown, and my two best friends, George and Ronnie, who were both guitar players, by the way, flew in from New York to see the gig. And knowing that they were out there, you know, and Queen is their favorite band as well, besides the fact that now their friend is playing bass with them, that was a really magical night. It was a night to remember for me, for sure. And, you know, the Ukraine gig also with all of those people, it was just, we were all looking at each other like, you know, can you believe what we're seeing out there? Mm. Just a sea of people. And so those gigs, I say, stick out probably a little bit more than the others. But, and I, you know, there was no gig that I could say could be the worst gig. Yep. Or a bad gig. They were all great.
Having to play so much Queen music, do you ever tire of certain Queen songs? And if so, which ones tend to grate on you?
No, I don't tire of any. I honestly don't. To me, this is, you know, this is some of the greatest music in the world. You know, I don't tire of it because I always find new things in the songs to listen to as a player and even just as a listener. And we mix up the set quite a bit too. We'll move the order around. We'll get rid of some songs for a while and replace them with others. And, you know, those guys go out of their way to keep it fresh for the band as well as the audience too. But yeah, nothing grates on me. You know, you want to play so many songs, you know, and there's, you know, only so many that we can learn and do, but none of them I feel is, inconvenient or grating in any way.
Thank you.
music-wise, what is your favourite Queen track and why?
To listen to or to play?
Well, we'll do one of each. Yep.
Okay. Well, my favourite Queen songs, I guess, to listen to, I have to say it's Late. You know, I remember when the record first came out, that just blew my mind, especially the final choruses. And just, it was just the epitome of, you know, everything you love about the Queen sound. It's all in there. The heavy rhythm section, the majestic vocals, Freddie's incredible lead vocal thing. Brian, you know, one of my favorite Brian May solos is in that song. That really is one of the peak ones. Under Pressure, always one of my favorites. It has a lyric that really gets to me and an intensity to the song that's just fantastic. Stone Cold Crazy, you know. And as far as songs to play, I'd have to say Under Pressure again as well. As I remember in South America, especially Buenos Aires, we started the song, you know, people were singing the bass part, you know, really loud. And it was overwhelming, you know, and Champions, you know, people singing every word, you know, with everything they've got. And also Days of Our Lives, you know, on a personal note. We didn't do it on this past tour, but, you know, between the song itself, which is one of the greatest things Roger's written, in my opinion, and, you know, the videos in the background, it's very emotional. You know, you can see it in the people, and it's a fantastic piece of music to play. Real honor to be up there playing that.
What are your thoughts about the music on the latest Queen and Paul Rodgers album, Rock the Cosmos?
Oh, I think it's great. You know, another departure. when I first heard it, it was, you know, it was all so new to me. It's great hearing, you know, Paul singing new music with the guys. And, you know, what came to mind is, it's like when any new Queen album would come out, me and my friends would always say, well, this is great. It's so different than the last record, you know. But that was great about bands like Queen or even Led Zeppelin and bands like, where it's just, you're not going to hear, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody Part 2. They're going to do that, and they're going to do it once, and they're going to do other things. And that's the beautiful thing about it, because it doesn't sound like they're borrowing from themselves. And I thought it was real fresh, and again, great melodies, and just reinventing themselves again, which they've never failed to do, which is a fantastic thing.
So are you aware of any plans for another Queen and Paul Rodgers album to come out in the near future, or is there no talk about it?
I'm not aware of any talk about it. Mm. You know, I don't know. I don't know if they choose to play, you know, again in the future, if they want to do another record first or not. I really don't know.
You're stepping into some very big shoes, trying to fill in for John Deacon. How challenging has this role been to you?
Oh, it's been very challenging in a great way, too. John is a bass player that I always admired. In fact, the first two bass players I really took notice of when I started playing was, one was the late Dee Murray from Elton John's band, and the other one was John. You know, when I heard Sheer Heart Attack, which was the first Queen record that I listened to, from listening to that and on to Night at the Opera and everything else, I was always impressed and always felt he was a very underrated bass player. And, you know, he was one half of one of the best rhythm sections in rock. And very challenging, because he plays very unconventional things and things you wouldn't normally expect to hear. And like John Paul Jones and a lot of great bass players, his bass parts became part of the song. You know what I mean? And very, very important to the song as a whole. And, you know, they are big shoes to fill, and it's something that's very humbling to me and very satisfying, on the other hand, too, when you're able, you know, to pull it off. But he's always been one of my favorite bass players, and tremendous musicality to his approach and his playing and his feel. And it's an ongoing effort for me to really constantly try and do a better and better job every night.
So do you think John's style was, as a bassist, was unique in any way, or is it there nothing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Very melodic. Never overplaying, you know, although some things he did were very, technically, difficult for a bass player, but doesn't come across as like, oh, the bass player is just overplaying and stepping on the guitar player and all that. Had a tremendous melodic feel and, had a great lock with Roger. As a bassist, to me, that's the most important thing is, you can't move away from the drummer. You can't separate. You've got to stay locked in. And it's very difficult to stay locked in while playing, more, getting a bit on the busy side and all that. And he never failed, to always lock in. And, they just created such a huge sound. And he really has a tremendously unique approach to things. Very melodic, very, very intricate with rhythmic ideas and all that.
Is it difficult to replicate Deacon's sound, or do you find it's quite easy and you're able to put your own Miranda sound to what you're doing?
As far as knowing what he used, equipment-wise and all that stuff, that part is kind of a given, but that doesn't make you sound like him. It's the sound is in your fingers, and you've got to have the right touch and the right feel. And that's something, I've always listened to, to English bass players, all of my life, from Jack Bruce to Chris Squire and John Entwistle and all that. And, the sensitivity to how they play, I try and play close attention to it. And, it is difficult, because just using the same bass and the same amp doesn't mean you're going to sound like them. And even if you play exactly the same notes, it doesn't guarantee. It's the overall sound that you're making with Roger. That's the end result that I'm looking at.
What is the hardest Queen track to play the bass on, and why?
For me, the hardest track to play would probably be Champions. It's not that it's the hardest bass part to play, but I'm also singing, and those great background vocals, I'm singing in one direction and I'm playing bass in another direction. It's kind of like having to have two brains. And to just play the song would be one thing, but playing it and singing it is, very difficult for me, because one almost has nothing to do with the other, And so that I would say would probably be the hardest one for me.
Coming back to John Deacon, have you ever met John or had any feedback from John directly about your playing with Queen and Paul Rodgers?
No, I never met John. I've never heard anything about his feedback about me or the gig or anything. No, I've never met him. He's, to the best of my knowledge, he hasn't showed up at a gig that we've played, so no.
Do you think John Deacon will ever come out of retirement and do anything with the Queen and Paul Rodgers project on stage, or if Paul Rodgers is going his own way, come back and do something with the boys and you and Jamie?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask John.
Yeah, I guess
maybe
so.
Brian and Roger. I don't know the man. I really can't speak for him.
Yeah.
I really couldn't answer that.
How have you found the treatment towards you from the Queen fan base and the Paul Rodgers fan base? Is there a difference between the two, or?
No. I've been very pleased with the treatment. Like any fan, you don't want the original members to go away, but if indeed it happens, that's the way it goes sometimes, and you still you don't want to take it out on the new guy and all that stuff, but that I never felt that. I just felt like I was welcomed from the very beginning, and people seem to be very pleased that, you know, we're out there playing music. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm sure they would love, you know, if John had been there, but, you know, he chose to retire. And these guys, you know, chose to carry on and still make music. And I felt like I've been, you know, welcomed, and it's been very positive, and, you know, meeting a lot of the fans and the people who go on the shows, and they're all very nice and very appreciative. So it's been all good.
Has the economic crisis of 2009 had a negative impact on tour plans for Queen and Paul Rogers projects post-South American tour 2008? And were there ever plans for a tour of the United States during 2009 that were cancelled, to your knowledge?
Well, I mean, there was talk about it, but, you know, it's never a reality until it's, you know, really there. You know, I don't know how deep they were in talks about possibly touring there. We did a long tour, you know, and to tour the States, right, you know, immediately after or soon thereafter might have been a bit much. And I don't know if, you know, I'm sure the economic situation here, you know, probably has something to do with it. But, you know, again, I never, you know, there were never any definite plans that we were going to tour the States. You know, there's talk and there's offers and there's this and that, but, you know, we did a lot of gigs, so I think that was enough for 1 year, and we'll see what happens in the near future.
Yeah, did you know Hollywood Record actually announced that in a press release that the next leg was to be the United States in the, I think, fall or spring following the South American tour?
Yeah, I heard about that. You know, and I'm sure it still may happen. You know, it's just, it'll happen when those guys feel the time is right for it to happen.
Yeah, now's not a good time to be touring. Well, maybe for Michael Jackson, but I think everybody else will be struggling.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a different game out there now. You know, it's a big commitment, you know, to go see a show these days.
Yeah.
You know, especially with people with, you know, money problems and all that other kind of stuff. But there'll always be music to see. You know, there'll always be people out there playing. And, you know, this like everything else, will pass and it'll get better. I'm sure it will.
If you could change anything with the Queen and Paul Rogers project, what would it be?
Well, it would probably be that we have a gig tomorrow. That's it for me, you know. I play all year, every year with that. It's just the greatest feeling in the world, being on stage with those guys.
Okay, so we spent a lot of time talking about Queen and Paul Rogers' time. What do you do with yourself during your downtime with Queen and Paul Rogers?
Well, I live here in the West Coast of the United States, and, you know, I do the odd session here and there and odd gigs and stuff, and I've been doing some stuff in L.A. and Vegas, some recording and doing some of my own music. I write a lot of, been writing a lot of music lately. A lot of it being instrumental type things. You know, not new agey things, but, you know, I've always been influenced by the instrumental passages of bands like Pink Floyd and Rush and, you know, artists like Jeff Beck, those kinds of things. And so I write a lot in that vein. So I've been recording a lot of that stuff in my home studio and, you know, hope to put some of it out, you know, by the end of the summer or early fall, a few songs or, you know, an album full of stuff. And going to do, you know, probably going to do an instrumental record with my buddy George Cintron, guitar player, and John Michelli, who plays drums for Meatloaf. We'll probably get together and write some songs, maybe half instrumental, half vocal, and put some music out.
Sounds good. Any idea of the album title, or not that far into the project yet?
No, not that far into it yet. Not that far. That'll probably be the last thing.
All right.
When all is said and done.
So thank you very much for agreeing to do this interview with me, Danny. It was great to have you on the show. We love you anyway. Australians love
thank
you.
So
we're really happy to see you fill in for John. We miss his sound. We notice it's not there, but we're happy. You know, we've grown to love you and appreciate you, and we're just happy that you're there, because if you weren't there, then it probably wouldn't be happening. Before we part company, do you have any messages you'd like to pass on to the Aussie Queens community or the broader Queen community?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say hi to everybody down under there, and I hope to see you soon, and I hope that we all get to play for you, and you know, and spread the joy that we've been spreading over the rest of the world, and you know, and thank you for your support for the band, for me, and you know, we're going to keep rocking, and we hope to see you in the future.
Excellent. Well, we hope to see you too. Thank you very much, Danny.
Thank you, Nicole.
Join the Aussie Queens fan club and subscribe to the newsletter. Go to www.aussiequeens.com to register and keep up with Queen news.